Thank you, Marty. Good morning, everyone. Now, folks, I didn't know your memory verse when I came down here, and I didn't know what we would be singing, but I'd like to ask you to turn to John 14, please. John 14, verses 1 to 6. And let's allow God's word to speak to us this morning. This portion starts off with absolutely beautiful, beautiful, beautiful words. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Let not your heart be troubled. Means don't be agitated. Now, folks, we've just had an election just barely passed a few days ago. What if one of the front runners, we've probably all got sick of the news by the time it came and went, but what if one of the front runners stood before Canada, before Ontario, before the people of Stirling, and said, don't worry, don't be troubled, we're going to get it all fixed. How much comfort would you draw from that? What if a newscaster or a different politician said, we've solved all the world's problems, don't be troubled. You don't have to be agitated. You don't have to be worried anymore. How much comfort would you draw from that? You see, here's the thing. The measure of comfort you draw from words like that is in direct proportion to the worth and the reputation and the authority of the speaker. See, there it is. You might draw immense comfort from those words. You might not get any at all, but how much you can get is based on the worth and the authority and the reputation of the speaker. Because these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, you may today draw absolutely immense and eternal comfort from them, based on the worth and the reputation and the authority of the speaker. Now, what prompted the Lord Jesus to all of a sudden say, hey, let not your heart be troubled? Like there, you don't just blurt something like that insensibly. What was the circumstance? How come all of a sudden he says to his followers, hey, don't be troubled? Well, it's because of what's preceded. We always have to see things in context in the scripture. So let's read chapter 13, starting at verse 33. He's speaking to his disciples, and when he addresses them as little children, that's not derogatory. It was actually a term of endearment in the day. So verse 33 of chapter 13, little children, yet a little while I'm with you, you'll seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I've loved you. You're also to love one another. By this all people will know you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow after. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you've denied me three times. So that's the context whereupon Jesus says that. You see, he's been with these disciples, we're told, for over 3 years. And folks, as you've read the Gospels and heard them, you know that the incredible close relationship that's developed between the Lord and the disciples. There's times when he's defended them. There's times when he's fed them. He's drawn them aside to have a quiet time with them. They've heard the incredible things he said. They've seen the miracles he's done. There's an incredible relationship between him and the disciples. And all of a sudden he says, I'm going somewhere and you can't come. Well, they've been with him through thick and thin. So how come all of a sudden this? And no wonder their questions, their concerns as to why they can't follow them. So Jesus speaks, hey, don't be agitated. Don't let your hearts be troubled. So this is the basis and background of that. And when he says to them in verse 13, where I'm going, you cannot come. I believe that's a reference to his death on the cross. And no, they could not possibly go there. But folks, there's assurance in his words, because when he says it again in verse 36, where I'm going, you cannot go, but you will follow me after. There's promise and hope in those words. You see, folks, the sufferings of the cross, he would do completely alone. But the victory and triumph of the cross, all his people will share. That's where and when that we can follow him. Now, sadly, hearing all that, Peter's not happy, not convinced. And in verse 37, his insistence is not commendable. Peter said to him, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you've denied me three times. And this isn't the first time that Peter has been insisting and been demanding of the Lord certain things that the Lord at that time has chosen not to reveal. And instead of Peter hearing the Lord's words and drawing great comfort them, which I said we can certainly do, sadly, like myself, sometimes Peter's mouth becomes his own trap. Just can't seem to keep it quiet when he should. Instead of hearing the wonder of the Son of God laying down his life and God's plan and purpose for all his people, Peter's interrupting and he's got his own plan and he's actually going to be the hero of the story. Lord, you don't have to die. I'm going to save you. Hear the plan of God from all eternity and the bliss and blessing to all God's people is about to be spelled out. And the most immense comfort imaginable is about to be heard from Christ himself. People living in sin and facing the judgment of God can hear, let not your heart be troubled. There's hope beyond this. And Peter's insisting. Peter, for once in your life, stop talking. Stop interjecting. Stop interrupting. Listen. Peter, listen to what I'm going to do. Listen, Peter, to what my Father has planned for and granted to all his people. Listen to the certainty and the eternal assurance of my voice. Peter, of all people, who has more evidence of my deity and my greatness and my goodness than you do? Who has more reason to be listening right now than you? Of all people who should be listening, of all people who should be drawing comfort from my words, who's seen more of my words come true, Peter, than you have? Peter, you were there when I fed the 5,000. You were there. Peter, it was your mother-in-law that I healed a fever. You were there when I cast out demons. You were there when I healed leprosy. You were there when I raised the dead. You were there when I was transfigured on the mountain. You were there when I calmed the storm, when you all thought you'd perish. It was you, Peter, of all the disciples, it was you who said of me that I have the words of eternal life. Shouldn't you be listening now? It was you who took me at my word when you'd fished all night and caught nothing. And I said, do it one more time. You took me at my word and did it. And brought in a load that you couldn't even carry. It was you, Peter, of all the disciples. It was you at my bidding. Walked on the water. It was you who answered when I said, who do men say that I am? It was you who spoke up and said, you're the Christ, the Son of God. So Peter, of all people, put away your plans of self-aggrandizement. Put away your insistence in being heard. You're not the last word. I'm the living word. Peter, there's no hope in your plans, but there's eternal hope in mine. Your mind is troubled. I have the cure. Your plan is uncertain. The outcome's impossible. My plan is sure. The outcome's glorious. Peter, leave your willfulness. I'm the way. Leave your doubts and anxieties. I'm the truth. Leave your frailty and weakness. I'm the life. Peter, stop talking. Stop interjecting. Stop interrupting. Listen. Your plan's finite. Mine is infinite. Yours is doomed from the start. Mine is flawless from eternity. Peter, listen to the plan of my Father. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Peter, you've said some good things about me, but you don't yet realize who I am. Do you want to hear who he is this morning? Listen to Proverbs chapter 8. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the fountains had been shaped, before the hills were there, I was brought forth, before he made the earth with its field, or the first of the dust in the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so its waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always in delighting in the children of man. See, Peter, that's who I am. I'm the eternal Son of God. The one I'm speaking to you about is my Father. Peter, you don't know how gracious my God, my Father is. Listen to someone who does. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. Peter, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Reconsider what I'm saying. Peter, what have you seen and heard of me all these past 3 years? Would I, of all people, say, let not your hearts be troubled, if I didn't have the means to bring that to bear? Peter, have you seen me as someone who's unable to keep my word? Did you see me try to heal and fail? Did you see me try to raise the dead and fail? Did you see me try to feed people with a kid's lunch and failed? Is that what you've seen? You've seen someone who can't keep his word, who can't back it? Folks, may you and I this morning, you and I, draw comfort from the words of the Son of God. Because he says to us, as much as he ever said to Peter or anyone else, let not your hearts, my heart, be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Means fear not, be not afraid, tremble not again, no more sleepless nights, no more anxious days. You see, folks, God has a plan and a cure and a remedy for troubled hearts, and he has a home for sin-weary people. Hebrews 4, there remains a rest for the people of God. Way back in Jeremiah, God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Let not your heart be troubled. There's hope in Christ. There's forgiveness of God. There's peace and joy in the Spirit. Listen this day to what could be yours if you heed the words of Christ. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Kind of sounds like our portion, doesn't it? Look at chapter 14 again, verse 27. What does the Lord Jesus say here? Beautiful statement. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now look again at verse 2 and consider that what Christ is sharing here, there's no one else in heaven and earth in history that can disclose this. Because he's talking about his Father's house. Who else can tell you about that? Who else can disclose that to you? And how is it that Christ can be? Listen to chapter 1 of John where it says, the Son became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's why he can explain these things to us. Verse 18, no one's ever seen God. The only God who's at the Father's side, Christ, has made him known. That's why Christ is the only one who can speak of these things. You see, folks, every thought you and I ever had of heaven falls far short of the reality. You and I can't think that big. The best thought you and I have ever had of heaven, the greatest, the grandest scheme, it falls far short of the greatness of the reality. Now, please listen to the simplicity of the words of Christ. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. You see, folks, it's really, really that simple. This is how to receive forgiveness of sins. This is how to have peace with God. This is how to have the entrance into heaven. Take God at his word. To Peter, to ourselves, give up the struggle, lay down your arms, put your arguments away, and take God at his word, trust him for what he says. Folks, would Christ tell us this if these things were not true? You see, folks, his title here, and it's your verse, by the way, he says, I'm not the deceiver, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Would he say these things too if there was no such place? Or if there was no room? Or if he didn't want us there? Or if there's no way that we could get there? See, folks, if we're listening this morning, there really is a heaven to go to. And there really is room. And preparations have been made. The old hymn's true, folks. It's beautiful. Though millions have come, still room for one. Yeah, there's room at the cross for you. And you know something, folks? In the most literal sense ever imaginable, Christ has staked his life on this. He staked his life on this. John 10, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's what he's done, that you and I might partake of this. You're concerned these things aren't true. Luke 14, God says, say to those who've been invited, come, all things are ready. The invitation of God himself. Do you doubt your acceptance? Verse 23, the master said, compel people to come in that my house may be filled. But folks, I want you to look at verse 3 of our portion. It's really, really beautiful. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, folks, our assurance and admittance into heaven is not, praise God, left up to our fickle thoughts. He will come again and take us to himself. You see, folks, those are the actions of someone who knows the worth of the prize and also the frailty of the guests. Let me explain. You're having a family dinner. Everybody in the family wants Granny to come. But Granny's 87, doesn't hear as well as she used to, doesn't see as well as she used to, and she has a walker. Granny's not going to make it. But someone in the family goes early, tells them they're coming, says they'll pick her up, they put the walker in the trunk, they help her into the car. If it's winter, they make sure the walk is cleared, and they bring her safely to the family meeting. How come they do all this? Why do they do it? Well, first of all, they love her. And they know that she'd love to be there amongst family. And they know that she won't get there safely on her own. You see, when Jesus says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He knows the value of the prize. He also understands the frailty of the guests. And because he loves his people, he assures us by his own goodness we'll be there. You see, folks, 1 Thessalonians says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven. And we will be caught up together, and so we'll always be with the Lord. Nothing's left to chance. This isn't subject to change or decay or time. The assurance is not that you and I will hold out. I've not held out many times. I failed many times in my Christian life. Folks, if it was left up to me, I'd never make it. The assurance is not that you'll hold out, that you'll have enough faith. The assurance is that he will bring us to himself. Psalm 73, you hold me by my right hand. John 17, those you've given me, I've lost none. See, this is why the Bible can say what otherwise would be very, very, very strange statements. Bible says in Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How can the Bible say that? Because he's taking us home. That's why. How can the Bible say in Ecclesiastes, the day of death is better than the day of birth? How can it say something so absurd? Because he's taking us home. How can the Bible say in Job, it says there concerning our length of days, it says God has set limits that we cannot exceed. Isn't God curtailing life? No, he's ushering us into it. What have you been singing all these years? Then as death gives way to what? Victory. I'll see the light of life and I'll know he lives. Folks, you and I, remember the story of Lot and his wife? You and I, like Lot, would linger when judgment's looming. Like his wife, given enough time, we'd all look back. Praise his name. He'll come and take us to himself. That's the plan. Now, if as you read verse 4 and 5, it says this, Jesus says, you know the way. To where I'm going, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Now, that's regrettable, but it's understandable that a person would struggle with how I can believe something and be assured to go to heaven. It's understandable that we can struggle with that. So do you know what the Lord Jesus does? He puts it so simple that even I get it. Even I can get it. He's put it so simple that even I can understand. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And anyone could grasp that, couldn't they? But you know something, folks? That verse that you've been urged to memorize, and I would suggest you do, that verse, if you understand it, it relieves a million fears. It relieves a million fears. It crushes all opposition. He's the way, the truth, and the life. It crushes all opposition. And it dispels thousands of misconceptions about how people get to heaven. Don't make any mistake. No one comes to the Father but by Him. If you're counting on anything else or anything less, you're doomed to a lost eternity. No one comes to the Father but by Him. It could not be said simpler. First Peter says, by Christ we believe in God. You hear this a lot these days. Do you have an exit plan? I'll just let you know that this Friday coming, Lord willing, I'm retiring. That's so-called exit plan. Do you have an exit plan? I've got a way better one than retirement. Jesus Christ is my way. He's my truth. He's my life. And because of Him and by Him and through Him, I'm going to come to the Father. That's where I'm going. Folks, your elders gave you a simple verse to memorize. It's so eternally profound that you could never know the fullness of it. You could never know the fullness when we're in God's presence thousands and thousands of eternities. We'll still be on our knees with wonderment that Christ died for our sakes, that He paved the way to heaven, that He allowed sinful people into His presence. I trust today, not by rote or not by memory, but I trust you really, really know the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, our Father, how we thank You. How we thank You, Father, that You would speak such words of comfort to such people. Your word describes the latter days in an interesting way. It says men's hearts fail them for fear. We see it, Father. The cases of stress and breakdown and mental issues in the world and the workplace are right off the charts. We can't keep up. We can have let's talk days every day of the year. It's not going to fix anything. And here, the one from whom we can draw immense and eternal comfort says in the words that drip with grace, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. And that has ever been the remedy to sinful souls and troubled minds. How we praise You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for Him, the Savior of all who will believe. We trust it's of each one this morning. In Your glorious name, amen.